Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Well, hey, Bridge young adults, it's Pastor Donnie, and I am so glad to be back in the States, back here with you, and I cannot wait to see all of you at our next service in February. But for this service, we wanted to bring you a special message, and I know that a lot of you are in different homes and watch parties. You're getting to enjoy your friends and have fun and fellowship, and some of you may be watching this or listening to this by yourself. Maybe you're at home, or maybe you're at work on a lunch break, and I just believe that this is going to strengthen your faith, and I believe that it's going to bring a different perspective to your 2018. You know, I know every new year, a lot of us make New Year's resolutions. You know, some of us want to lose weight. Some of us want to gain weight. Some of us want to get a new job or maybe get out of debt or get promoted. Or maybe it's, you know, get rid of that cat and actually get a real pet, get a dog. But whatever it is, you know, by this time of the year, some of you have already maybe started falling behind, and maybe hopefully, maybe some of you are doing really well on those resolutions. But I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. If you haven't already made some New Year's resolutions or whatever you want to call them, go ahead and do that. But what I want to say is this, don't just limit them to what you're going to get out of it. Don't just make it about you making more money, you moving into a nicer place, you getting out of debt, you know, you having a better job, you being happier, you. And make it more about others. Because after all, God says that the whole point, the whole reason behind the blessing of God in our life and the things that He's promised us is so that we can then pass that on to others so that they would see the goodness of God. Don't let 2018 be the year that all of your New Year's resolutions or all of the things that you want to see different in your life happen for you, but they don't trickle down to others around you. And so in 2018, I believe that God is wanting us to go from selfish to selfless. And so tonight we're going to kick off our new series titled Selfless. And we're going to be diving into some different topics over the next few weeks and the next few services. And I believe that it's going to be God shifting our perspective and getting our head on straight for 2018 so that we can walk in everything that God wants us to have, of course, everything that God wants us to experience, absolutely. But most importantly is how that flows through us and into the others and into lives of those around us. You know, Matthew 16, 24 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." So for 2018, I have four prayers for you. And these prayers are going to be the topic, the basis, the thesis, if you will, for the next few services that we're having in the Bridge Young Adults. And the first of those is going to be number one, I will be a bold witness. I'm believing that for myself, for my family, and I'm believing that for all of you, that you would be a bold witness for Jesus. And it kind of goes like this. You can pray, "Lord, use me to reach more people, even if I'm laughed at or ridiculed." And so that becomes the question. Am I willing to be bold? And oftentimes, the answer is yes. As believers, we know we're called to be bold. But what happens whenever those around us laugh at us? What happens whenever they ridicule us? What happens whenever our family members at events and family get-togethers, whenever they don't support our faith, whenever they don't believe in Jesus and they ridicule us or they laugh at us or they talk down on us, does that shut off our boldness? Does that turn off our courageousness? Does that change the way that we speak boldly and passionately about Jesus? And I believe that for 2018, that we will be bold witnesses. I believe that God is speaking that as a prophetic word over all of us for 2018, that we will be bold witnesses. The second prayer that I have for you and for myself, and I believe that this is God's prayer for us. Number two, I will be faithful in serving. I will be faithful in serving. And the prayer can go something like this. Use me to serve more, even if it stretches me and even if it makes me uncomfortable. You know, being a Christian, being a believer, there are few things in life that are going to be easy and comfortable about being a Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. God has a book full of promises that He's given us that tell us the life that we can experience and how we can be blessed and how we can be prosperous and how we can live life free of the effects of the curse, 100%. But what I mean is persecution. You know, people around us are going to persecute us. They're going to look at us differently. It's going to be uncomfortable. You know, whenever we're at work and, you know, people find out that we're a Christian and they find out what we believe and, you know, they begin to say things. You know, Jesus said, you know, take heart. Jesus said, hey, I hope you guys understand that in this life you will face persecutions. There are going to be things that are going to be uncomfortable in life that you are called to do as a believer. And folks, serving, giving to others, being selfless is not always comfortable. It means that you may have to give up one of your free nights to serve at church. It may mean that you have to wake up early on a Saturday morning to go to that outreach and to serve those people that are less fortunate than you, that don't know about Jesus, that haven't experienced the life abundant that God has promised. It may mean that maybe you're not able to do some things that you were hoping that you would be able to do because you just don't have time for them. And so my prayer again is that God would use us to serve more, even if it stretches us and even if it makes us more, makes us uncomfortable. The number three prayer that I have for you that I believe that God is speaking over us for 2018 is that I will be extravagant in my giving. I will be extravagant in my giving. And I'll just say this for Pastor Dara and I, and I believe a lot of you may want to get behind this in your own life. But I believe that 2018, God is going to use us to give more than we ever have. I believe that 2018 is going to be a banner year for the Petty household in our giving, in our sowing, and as well as in our reaping. And so whenever you pray for a raise, whenever you pray for promotion, there's nothing wrong with those things. But don't just stop at what you can get out of it. Don't just stop at the increase for your life, for what you can get, for you getting a new car, for you moving into a better apartment, but pray that whenever God blesses you with a new job or with a promotion or with a raise or a bonus, praise God and thank God and ask God that because of that, you would be able to tithe more, that you would be able to give more. You know, oftentimes whenever I've had money come in to, you know, a check in the mail, for instance, Pastor Darren and I had recently, and we were so thankful and we praised God and we thought, oh, great, now we'll be able to do this. Now we'll be able to, you know, buy this thing that we've been believing for. Now we'll be able to put up a fence. Now we'll be able to do all of this. And I just remember so loudly, so clearly, and so tangibly, the Holy Spirit rose up inside of me and He said, how about you be thankful for how much tithe you're going to be able to give off of this check. And so in 2018, I believe that God is calling us to be extravagant in our giving. And I believe that God's going to use us to give more than we ever have, even if we have to make personal sacrifices. You know, I believe that that is the persecution as well that Jesus was talking about. Being uncomfortable for the gospel. Being in a place where we're stretched by how much God is calling us to give. You know, if it's easy for you to give how much God is calling you to give, it may not be God calling you to give that. It may be your own personal preferences. And so I believe in 2018, God is challenging us to get to a place where we're stretched in our giving, to get to a place where God is bringing us in our faith that we are uncomfortable with how much God is calling us to give, that we are giving more than we ever have, and maybe even making personal sacrifices. You know, some of you, you may want to dial back on the DirecTV package that you have, or the data package that you have, or whatever the case may be. Some of you, it may be that you lower your clothing budget a month. Some of you, it may be that maybe you don't even have cable TV at your house, because after all, just how much news, just how much things can we pour into ourselves and truly be being filled up? You know, one thing that Pastor Dara and I have committed to is that we're not going to be watching as much news as we have in years past. You know, because we don't want to look at what the commentaries say. We don't want to look at the people that are making the headlines up and slanting the news stories. We want to look at what God says about what's happening in the end. We want to be built up in our faith because of what God says we can expect as believers and as people who take Him at His word. You know, what sacrifices are you willing to make? What sacrifices is God calling you to make so that 2018 can be the biggest year in your giving? And lastly, I will be grateful in my grind. 2018, I believe God is calling us to be grateful in our grind. And what does that mean? Grateful in our grind. That doesn't mean the struggle. That doesn't mean the hard times. That means our everyday mundane life. Getting up, getting in our car, going to work, making our lunch, coming back home, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, letting the dog out, cleaning up after the dog. God is calling us to be grateful in our grind, in the mundane things in our life. You know, can we be thankful whenever you get into that car that, you know, the lock button doesn't always work? Or maybe the sunroof leaks. Can you be grateful in the everyday things of life? Because as you know, what you honor and what you're thankful for only increases and only draws more of the same in your direction. You know, some of you are believing God for a new car. And maybe for you, the very thing that God is waiting for, the very thing that you have been looking for to unlock, God being able to bring that new thing into your hands, maybe it's being thankful. Maybe it's being thankful even though you haven't seen that thing yet. You know, it's one thing to be thankful for what God has done, to be thankful for what God has given you. It's a whole nother thing to be thankful for what you believe He's bringing into your hands. But it's a whole nother thing, and that I believe that if we can be thankful in the middle of what we're going through, in the middle of waiting for that thing to come, in the middle of it not looking like that debt is going to be paid off, in the middle of looking like that relationship is all but lost, in the middle of waiting for that job promotion to finally come through, God is saying, will you be grateful in the grind? And I'm reminded of John 20:19. And this is right after the disciples have spent time with Jesus, and Jesus has went off to the cross. As many of you know the story, He was died, He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. But John 20:19 is what happens right before Jesus shows up to the disciples. And it says, that Saturday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid. It says, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them, and He said to them, "Peace be with you." You know, the disciples had seen Jesus raise people from the dead. He had seen them heal people. He had seen them perform miracles. They themselves had performed miracles. And they saw and they experienced the power of God, the miraculous grace of God, and the provision of God. They had even themselves broken the bread and given it to those around them and seen it multiply. But somehow, the very thing that Jesus predicted would happen caused them to be afraid. And if you remember the story, Peter, who was so quick to be bold and so quick to tell Jesus how much he loved him and how much he would never deny him, but yet he cowered down to a little girl and said, "I don't even know that Jesus." So we see the disciples going from experiencing the power of God to now being afraid and hiding. And I wonder how many of us, whenever Jesus came into our life, whenever we experienced Him for the first time, whenever we raised our hands in worship for the very first time, or whenever we gave our hearts and our lives to Jesus, whenever we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we were bold and we were passionate about God, and we were willing and courageous to tell everybody about what He had done, about what He had done for us. But the longer we went, the more that we began to allow life to beat us up, and the persecutions and the things that make us uncomfortable, and the shyness and the, "Well, I'm not really an outgoing person, so I'm not really called to share my faith with the barista at the coffee shop. I'm not really that kind of person to preach. I'm not really that kind of person to stand up and, you know, tell everybody, hey guys, maybe we shouldn't do this because that's not what God would want us to do." You know, that may not be you, but the disciples were bold before, but then they were caused to be afraid. But watch what happens. It says in verse 19 that suddenly Jesus was there among them. And I just wonder, if we walked around every day, if we got in our cars, if we went to work, if we showed up to our class every day, and we just said, "Jesus is among me. God is with me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of me." I just wonder, if we walked around with that understanding, if we walked around with that mindset, I just wonder how bold that we would be for Jesus. I just wonder, whenever we felt that tug at our heart to speak to that person in line at Walmart, or whenever we were checking out at Starbucks, I just wonder if we truly remembered and truly reminded ourselves that Jesus was with us, I just wonder if we would find ourselves being afraid like the disciples. folks, I believe that the exact opposite would happen. And I believe the same thing that happened for the disciples in that moment can happen for you. In that moment, whenever they realized that Jesus was with them and they suddenly saw that he was among them, they went from selfish to selfless. They went from afraid to bold, and they went from apathetic to passionate. And I believe that every single one of us in 2019, God is calling to go from selfishness, from fear, from apathy, to selflessness, to boldness, to courage, and to passion. You know, Acts 4:8-10 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed?'" Now just imagine this. Days before, Peter was hiding. Peter denied Jesus. He even cowered down to a little girl. And now, Peter is before the religious leaders who had the authority to throw them in jail, who could have crucified them just like Jesus. And it's not that the fear wasn't there. You know, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is overcoming fear by the Word of God and by who Jesus is and who He's empowered you to be. And there's going to be times in your life that just like Peter, you're going to be in the middle of a situation that fear may be surrounding you. But it's not about a lack of fear surrounding you. It's about not giving into that fear and knowing that God within you has created you and called you and empowered you to be more than a conqueror. And I just remember what Jesus said. He said, "Take heart because I have overcome the world." And He's called us and He's empowered us to overcome the world as well. But watch what Peter said after he had been with Jesus, after he had showed back up and proven himself and said, "Look at my hands, look at my sides." And the disciples realized that Jesus was always going to be with them. Watch what Peter said. He said, "Let me clearly state to all of you, all the people of Israel, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised for the dead." And I believe in 2018, God is calling us to be bold, to not be apathetic, but to be passionate about Jesus and about what He's done in our life. You know, we speak boldly about what we believe passionately. You think about it. We're bold about our sports teams. You know, just a couple weeks ago, I was praising God and getting so excited while I was in Africa watching on my ESPN app on my phone, the Tennessee Titans, my favorite team, beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And it might have been 4 a.m. back in Africa, but I promise you, I was yelling and screaming and praising God. I was excited and passionate because my team came back and won the game. You know, we are bold about the things that we believe deeply in. And I just wonder, for all of us, what things are you passionate about that you're willing to post on social media about, that you're willing to tell other people that maybe don't believe the same way as you? You're willing to tell them about that because of how deeply and how passionately you believe it. You know, some of you believe that, you know, this band is the best. Or some of you might believe that, you know, that new pair of shoes that you got, man, you just want to tell everybody about, because as you're walking around, it feels like you're just walking on clouds. Or maybe it's that new investment. Maybe it's Bitcoin. Maybe it's, you know, DJ whoever, or the new CD or the new single that came out. And you post about it, you share about it, you encourage your friends to purchase it and experience as well. But then when it comes to Jesus, whenever it comes to your coworkers and your family and your friends, that if Jesus were to come back right now in this moment, would they be spending eternity with Him? Or would they be spending eternity in hell? And, you know, I'm the last person to ever get behind, or, you know, I don't really like the whole hellfire and brimstone and, you know, give your heart to Jesus now, or you're going to go to hell and burn. And, you know, there's a worm that's going to eat on you and it'll never die. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that that is the most effective forms of ministry, but I would be lying if I didn't read this Bible and say that hell was a real place, that eternal damnation apart from Jesus was a real thing. That if people do not give their hearts and their lives to Jesus, profess Him as Lord with their mouth and believe in their heart, I would be lying if I didn't say that they will spend eternity in hell. It is a real place. Heaven is a real place, and we have that to look forward to. But hell is a real place too. And that should empower you. That should fuel you. That should give you some passion and some boldness to speak out about what Jesus has done for you and how much He loves you and how His grace has changed you and how your faith in this word has given you a new life, who has changed you and redirected your life. And I just remember what Acts 4:12 says. It says, "There is salvation in no one else. No other name do we find salvation. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." And the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You know, people around you, people in your life, they may not be amazed at how well you can preach or how many scriptures you can quote, but they will be amazed at your boldness. And watch what they said about Peter and John. It says, "For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures." You know, many of us, we may not go to seminary. We may not spend our entire lives, you know, dedicated to the word and, you know, reading scriptures and writing sermons and ministering and doing all these kinds of things. But what you can do and what you should do is exactly what they saw on Peter and John. It says they were ordinary men. You know, there is nothing wrong with being an ordinary man, with being an ordinary woman. And whenever I say ordinary man and ordinary woman, I don't mean that you are normal. I mean that you don't have to have special training. It said here that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. You know, you can be effective for the kingdom and not be able to quote 500 scriptures just like that. You know, you can be effective to reach people for Jesus and to see people come to know Him through your life, through how you go through everyday life, for how you can lay your hands on the sick and see them recover. You don't have to be specially trained for that, but you do have to have faith in God's word. But this is the most important thing about what the religious leaders noticed in Peter and John. It said they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They recognized that these men, ordinary men, without special training, had been with Jesus. And so I want to ask all of us a question tonight. And I believe this will be a great point for a lot of you in the different homes that you're in, the different host homes and the different watch parties that you're in. I believe this will be a great jumping off point for discussion later. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest. I want you to be real with yourself for a moment. I want you to have a moment of clarity. On a scale of 1 to 10, people that know you, people that interact with you on a daily basis, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bold would they say that you are for Jesus? What would they say? How amazed are people at your boldness on a scale of 1 to 10? You know, some of you, you might be a 7, 8, 9. You might be, you know, one of those people that maybe right now where you're at, maybe there's two or three people that are at that watch party because you invited them. You know, you're bringing coworkers, you're bringing classmates, you're bringing your barista from Starbucks, you're bringing them to church, you're bringing them to the Bridge, you're bringing them to EMIC, you're inviting them to Southwest Believers Convention, you're inviting them to Brother Copeland whenever he's here at EMIC. You're sharing things on the internet about, you know, EMIC and KCM. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're a 7 or 8 or a 9. And for those of you that would say that that's you, man, I encourage you, keep doing it. God is using you in your spheres of influence to reach people. Some of you, maybe you're a 1, maybe you're a 2, maybe you're a 3. And maybe in the past year, maybe you haven't brought a single person to church. And I want you to hear this. I'm not getting on you. I'm not trying to be harsh with you tonight. I'm wanting to encourage you that 2018, I believe that God is wanting us to be selfless and to not be concerned about what people think, what they might say, what they might do, but rather that they would see that even if we're ordinary, with no special training, they would recognize that there's something different in us. You know, Brother Copeland said that 2018 is the year of Holy Ghost and fire. And I just believe that people may not be impressed with how much scripture you can quote, but they will be impressed whenever they see that the way you live your life, the way that you interact with people on a daily basis is full of something different than they've ever experienced. And they would see that you have been with Jesus. You know, for those of you that are 1, 2, or 3, maybe you don't pray much at all. Maybe there's not a few people in your life. Maybe you're not praying for that coworker, that boss, or that family member. Maybe you're not praying that they would come to know Jesus. But friends, today is a new opportunity. 2018 is a new year, and today is a new opportunity for you to change that and to begin to make that progression towards being a 7, an 8, or a 9. So I just have two things tonight. As we're talking about being selfless and moving out of being selfish and being bold and being courageous and moving from being apathetic to being passionate and moving from being fearful to being full of courage. I believe two things that we can do to grow in boldness. Number one, spend more time with Jesus. You know, we just read in Acts 4:13 that said that these men, we can see that these men have been with Jesus. And watch what the Bible says. Whenever it says there, these unschooled men, that Greek word is the word idiotas. Sounds like maybe a word that maybe some of you have called that guy that cut you off in traffic. It sounds like the word idiot. Literally, the religious leader said, these are idiots with no special training, but we can tell there's something different about them. They have been with Jesus. And you know, I'm the first one to never say that I'm going to call myself an idiot or anything like that. But what I am willing to do is if people are willing to say, man, you're an idiot for Jesus. Man, you are crazy for Jesus. Man, you are psychotic if you believe everything that the Bible says. You know what? Bring it on. Because just like David, whenever his wife was calling him crazy, whenever his wife was saying, David, you're acting crazy. You're looking like an idiot by how you're praising God, by how you're dancing. But what did David say? He said, you think that this is acting crazy for Jesus? You just watch. I'm going to be even more undignified than I have been for God because of what he's done, because of who he is, and because of how much he loves me. And I just believe that in 2018, that we can be just like David, that we can be just like Peter, that we can be just like John, that we could have the mentality that who cares what my friends are going to say? Who cares what the world is going to say? Who cares what my classmates and my coworkers are going to say? I'm going to be bold for Jesus because people are dying and going to hell, and I'm not willing to accept that I could have done more about it. So the number one thing, you got to spend more time with Jesus. You know, so many of us, we get home for the day and we spend time with Sean Hannity or with Wolf Blitzer or with whatever band of music that you like to listen to or whatever Netflix show that you binge on, Stranger Things or The Office or whatever the case may be. You know, we spend a ton of time with those people. But do we come out looking any better? Do we come out experiencing more of God? Do we come out of that time looking more like Jesus and more positioned to impact our world and to help our friends and family members come out of the things that have been binding them up? You know, I'm all for knowing what's happening in the world. I'm all for spending time, you know, educating ourselves on what's happening around the world and what's going on and all those kind of things. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you is this, more than anything, I want to spend time knowing what God says about me. I want to spend time knowing what's available to me, how I can impact the generation around me, how I can influence those that I have interaction with on a daily basis so that they can come to know Christ, so that they can come to experience Him in His fullest and experience what the Holy Ghost can do in their life. You know, many of you, you have a lot of Christian friends, but some of them don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Some of them don't believe in speaking in tongues. Some of them don't believe that as a believer in Jesus that we can lay our hands on the sick. And so I'm challenging you. How are you and the time that you spend with Jesus, how is that impacting them? How is that influencing them? How are you showing up to your hangouts whenever you guys go out to dinner or hang out or whatever? How are they seeing something different in you? How are they seeing the fire of the Holy Ghost operating in your life? So number one, how am I more bold? You got to spend more time with Jesus. And number two, ask God to make you bold. Let me tell you, friends, that is a very outlandish prayer to make if you're not willing to walk in what God is going to call you to do. You know, if you say, God, make me bold, you better get ready because He's going to begin to ask you to do things, give you words to speak over people. You're going to be walking through the store and God's going to say, hey, go over to that person with the red shirt on and tell them that even though their wife left them, that God has a great plan to bring them back together. So don't lose heart. The devil has been trying to rip that family apart, but you're going to begin to speak life over them. And you're going to say, God, not me, use somebody else. But whenever you pray, God, make me bold, there's going to be things that He's going to begin to call you to do. But what you have to understand is this. Anytime you pray that prayer, not only is God going to call you to do new things, but He's going to empower you to do it. And it may take dealing with some feelings of fear. You know, I've heard Kelly Copeland and I've heard Brother Copeland talk about that, you know, faith is not the absence of fear. It's about the knowledge that fear has no place to affect what you choose to do and how you choose to believe. So, you know what? Let me give you a secret. There are times that even me, as Pastor Donnie, even some of the greatest leaders that all of us look up to, whenever God has called us to go speak a word to this person, to go up to that person and, you know, ask them how they're doing or to whatever the case may be, you know, there is sometimes a little bit of hesitancy. I would be lying if I said that there are times where I'm not a little bit concerned about, oh man, are they going to think I'm crazy? Are they going to be totally weirded out? What are they going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? But every single time that I step out in boldness and I say, you know what, God, even though I'm feeling a little bit of hesitancy, God, even though I'm feeling a little bit fearful, God, I'm not feeling quite as bold as I would like to, God. Every single time whenever I begin to pray, God says, I'm going with you. I might say, God, I don't know what to say. He says, every time you open your mouth, I will fill it. I will tell you what to say. I will speak through you to that person. So number two, ask God to make you more bold. And I just remember the disciples, after they have hidden from the religious leaders and after they've hidden from the Jewish leaders because they're afraid. Remember earlier we read that they were hiding behind closed doors because they were afraid. Then we see them spending time with Jesus, and then we see the religious leaders realizing that, man, these might be ordinary men, but they've been with Jesus. And so because of that, they are not ordinary. They're actually supernatural men. I believe that as you do that, you're going to begin to not even care about what people think. The selfishness of your past of, well, I can't post about how God brought me out of alcoholism. Well, I can't really talk about how I used to be addicted to drugs, or I used to be addicted to pornography, or I used to, you know, be in fear about this, or I used to be in bondage in my mind from depression, but, you know, now God saved me. You know, some of you, God might be calling you tonight to maybe post on social media about the story that God has brought you from, about your past that God has redeemed you from. Some of you, maybe it's somebody that you need to tell. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a classmate. Maybe it's somebody that rides the same bus to work as you. Maybe it's your classmate. Maybe it's a teacher that you need to share about what God has done in your life. And I believe that as you begin to take those steps of boldness, that you're going to be so encouraged as you see God begin to move in those people's lives. So I want to encourage you tonight. God is calling us to be bold. And the number one way that we do that is to spend time with Jesus. And the number two way is to ask Him to make us bold. So remember, as you are going into the time of discussion tonight, I know the leaders there and the people that are hosting these watch parties, they're going to have some great discussion questions and some great things to talk about. But I want you to really think about and really look into your heart and maybe even ask some friends, how amazed are people at your boldness? On a scale of 1 to 10, how amazed are people at your boldness? And how can you in 2018 maybe move from a 1 or a 2 up to a 5 or a 6 or an 8 or a 9? And I believe for those of you that are at an 8 or a 9, how do you help those around you to begin to do the same things? How do you begin to encourage them to be the same type of person that's bold in inviting people to church, that's bold in telling people about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and sending them articles and sending them links to words that Brother Copeland has had for years past and for this year, the very thing that they may need for their year to walk in victory. And so then I want to encourage you, if you're a guest, if you've never been at the Bridge, if you've never came to EMIC, again, I'm Pastor Donnie. I'm the pastor of the young adults here at EMIC. And let me just tell you, this church, this community of believers, we love you and we cannot wait to spend time with you. And we look forward to seeing you in our services and to seeing your life changed the same way that our lives have been changed by the power of God. And no matter what you've heard about church, no matter what you've heard about Jesus, look, I get it. There's some wacky Christians out there. There's some wacky churches out there that believe some wacky stuff and teach some very non-biblical things about God, about Jesus, and about our life as believers. But I believe that if you can spend time and get planted here in this church, I believe that those questions that you have, maybe those fears that you have, I believe that God will begin to work those things out, and I believe that you'll begin to see God for who He truly is and experience Jesus for who He wants to be in your life. And so I want to invite you to our next Bridge service, the first Tuesday of February. It starts at 7 o'clock. We have coffee, we have food, we have great music, and I believe that you're going to find some new friends and you're going to experience something that you never have before. So in the coming weeks, I want to encourage you. These are going to be some of the topics that we're going to address. How do I be more faithful in serving? How do I serve other people? How do I make my life not just about me? You know, even non-believers get this. There's great causes and great nonprofits all over the world that are doing things for other people. But I believe as Christians, we're called to lead in this way. Also, we'll be talking about how do we become even more extravagant in our giving? How do we stretch ourselves? How do we get uncomfortable in our giving so that God can use us to bless others, to lift others, to encourage others, to show them God's best? And also, lastly, we'll be talking about how do we become grateful in our grind? How do we walk through our everyday life and still be thankful and still find things to be thankful? Because all of us have a lot more to be thankful for than we realize. All of us have a lot more that we can look at to be grateful than we even understand and that we even recognize. And so I want to leave you with this tonight. God loves you. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're in one of these watch parties tonight, you're listening by podcast or you're listening online or you're live streaming this or watching this on Facebook Live, whatever the case may be, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and I don't just mean you know about Jesus, it's not just enough to know about Jesus, to know about God. It's not just enough even to know God's word. The Bible says that the demons know God's word, but it's something completely different whenever you give your heart, give your life, give everything that you are over to Jesus. If you've never made that decision, if you're in one of those watch parties and you're in a home tonight, I want you just to find the leader at that home, and I want you to let them know before you leave tonight, hey, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I believe that they're going to pray with you, and I believe that they will help you to receive Jesus into your life. And I believe that as you profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that He is your Savior, and as you believe in your heart that Jesus is who He said He is, I believe that that is what's called being born again. And in that moment, God redeems you out of hell, out of darkness, out of eternal separation from Him, and into His kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of love. And I believe that your life in that moment, in this moment, I believe is going to change forever. And so let me just pray with you and those for the rest of you that have never made that decision. And for those of you that have made that decision, would you just repeat this after me? Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Jesus, I believe You are who You said You were. You are the only Son of God, born of a virgin, came to earth, died on a cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead by the power of God. And I believe that now, Jesus, as I pray these words, as I believe these things in my heart, that You are redeeming me from my past and bringing me into a new life with You. So, Jesus, take my life and do something amazing with it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, we want to hear from you. You can email us at info@thebridgedfw.com. You can send us an email. You can comment if you're watching this on Facebook Live or by any other means. We will get it and we will get back in contact with you because we want to pray with you and we want to be able to believe God for your future. So I leave you with this. I can't wait to see you guys again in February. Make sure that you ask the leader of the home that you're in about the Bridge groups, about EMIC groups, about getting plugged in, and I can't wait to see you soon. We'll see you later.